This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi and it's our Health and Living segment. Today we're discussing whether or not pregnant and breastfeeding mummies should take the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, you're probably wondering if it's safe to get the vaccine. I mean, we're going to be speaking to two consultant obstetrician and gynecologists, Dr. Charlotte Patience from the Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge and Professor Dato Dr. Siti Zawiya Omar from University of Malaya Medical Centre. And we're going to be finding out why it's important for pregnant and breastfeeding women to get vaccinated, especially if they're healthcare frontliners, and to answer some of your questions. So if you have one, give us a call. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at VFM Radio. Welcome to the show, ladies. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Dr. Zawiya, Charlotte, have the both of you been vaccinated already? Charlotte, what about you? The UK went first a couple of months ago.
Yes, so I had my first dose in January and I've got my second dose today.
Okay, and how are you feeling?
The first dose I felt absolutely fine. I had no problems at all. I hope the second dose will be the same.
Okay. Well, you're doing all right so far.
Quite so well after the second dose, but I shall see.
Okay. What about you, Dr. Siti?
Yeah, I've also been vaccinated about 2 weeks ago, and I'm waiting for my second dose at the end of this month.
Okay, so it is that's quite fast, actually. So we're following the 3-week cycle then?
Yeah, we are putting the 3-week cycle.
Okay, and that's not really the case in the UK, Dr. Charlotte. Why is that?
So in the UK, we've been following a 3-month cycle. I think the government looked at the evidence with the chief medical officer and they decided that the important thing was to try and get as many people the first dose as possible, because they felt that was the best way to protect a large number of people. And there seems to be a reasonable amount of evidence that the efficacy lasts for longer. So they've taken the decision that it was better to vaccinate a large number of people and then give a second dose a bit later, rather than vaccinating a small number of people.
Okay, so it's been a couple of months since the UK actually started to roll out this vaccination program. Have you seen the impact of it? Has it had an impact on the number of hospitalisation across the country? What have been your observations?
So I think two things have happened, of course. We had a lockdown that started just after Christmas here, and the vaccination program rolled out roughly the same time. And certainly the numbers of COVID-19 patients, well, in my hospital, have gone down dramatically. We got up in the middle of January to a maximum of about just over 250, I think, maybe 270. And now we're down to less than 20 with single figures, I think, now, or maybe just in double digits in the intensive care unit. So the numbers have certainly gone down. How much is vaccination? How much is lockdown? Of course, it's difficult to say at the moment. And I think in the pregnant population, my feeling is the numbers were always relatively small in Cambridge in the pregnant population. But certainly in January, I felt we saw more sick women. And we had a lot of women ringing up saying they had been diagnosed with COVID-19, although they were well with it. And that seems to have settled down. So I don't think we haven't had a new admission for a pregnant woman for a while now. I can't remember the last one. So the numbers certainly seem to be going down.
Okay, that's very good news. And do you think the UK will meet its deadline of vaccinating everybody by the 21st of June? I think that is the target, am I correct?
Well, we seem to be, yeah. I mean, things seem to be getting, it seems an unusual situation in some ways. We seem to be getting better rather than worse. So the deadline is coming forward rather than slipping.
Why is that? Worse meaning?
I think just because people they are managing to get more people vaccinated quicker than they thought.
Okay.
I think maybe they were a little bit cautious about what they said was going to happen, because I think people were worried about supplies particularly. But it seems to have been better than expected.
Okay. Dr. Siti, when our national immunisation programme started to roll out in February, there were doctors who spoke up about how women who were pregnant or breastfeeding were not initially included in the vaccination list. And this is despite being even healthcare frontliners. What concerns did you hear from your colleagues, for an example, as well as patients, as to were they hesitant, or did they really want to get vaccinated, or what was the situation like?
Well, it's kind of mixed picture, but those who are, you know, well-read and listen to some of the webinars that we have been having on COVID vaccination in pregnancy, they are more forthcoming. So these are the people who come forward and have a talk to us, the obstetricians, yeah, and they have discussed with us. And we have appropriately advised them. For us, we actually encourage this, you know, personnel, especially the healthcare personnel. As you know, we are more at high risk of contracting the COVID-19 in our course of work, especially.
What were some of the concerns, though?
The concerns that they are afraid of is, you know, what are the effects of this vaccine to the fetus, mm-hmm. yeah? And some other concerns are like, you know, what side effects that they might get throughout, you know, when they are given this vaccine. And some concerns about the fertility, you know, how is it going to affect them? You know, those with comorbids like hypertension, diabetes in pregnancy, these are their main concerns. Yeah.
Okay. And Dr. Charlotte, was that the similar case in the UK as well? Because you've already gone way past us. What were some of the concerns initially, and was there basis for those concerns?
So I think when the vaccine was first started in the UK, pregnant women were excluded. But fairly quickly, I think people were concerned about that. And our college and the Royal College of Midwives and the Joint Vaccine Committee put out a statement in mid-December suggesting that this was not the correct way forward. I think the problem really was that, of course, pregnant women were not included in the trials. And I can understand that. Pregnant women are very, very rarely included in any drug trials. So that's pretty normal because everyone's always worried about what might be the problems. So I think it was always difficult because of that to say that it was going to be safe in pregnant women. But I think fairly quickly that everyone felt, well, there's no reason why it shouldn't be safe. And pregnant women clearly are at risk, and particularly certain groups of pregnant women are at higher risk. And so I think I think from mid-December or from late December onwards, we have been encouraged to at least offer it to them and for women to consider it if they're in certain high-risk groups. It's currently not being offered to all pregnant women, but it is being offered to women in the higher-risk groups at the moment.
And who would these women be?
So they would be women, so two groups of women really, either healthcare workers who are therefore more exposed to COVID and so higher, more likely to get it. And the second group of women is women with comorbidities mm-hmm. who have a higher risk if they get it. So that would be women with serious respiratory disease or with heart disease. And now women who are older or overweight or with diabetes or of an ethnic minority Asian or Black women. Because these women are all at higher risk if they get it.
Okay. Dr. Siti, so are we vaccinating frontline workers who are breastfeeding or even pregnant?
Yes, we are currently, but of course, we give them choices. Mm-hmm. We counsel them appropriately so that, you know, we allay their fears. But final choice has always been, you know, theirs, yeah? And the partner, of course.
Yes, yeah? The partner, yes, of course.
Yes, the partner is very important.
Yes.
Because, you know, we do not want this blaming thing, yeah? So it's very important that we get them to also bring their partners in if they are concerned about it.
Okay. And if a woman is COVID-19 positive, let's take a couple of steps back. If she is positive, what's the risk of transmission of the disease to the baby during pregnancy and even after birth if you are breastfeeding, Dr. Charlotte?
So it seems to be very small. There were some studies published and they suggested that the risk of the baby becoming ill with it, which is slightly different, obviously, is tiny. And I think the study suggested it was about 0.6% or something. So really small numbers. There was a thing called the UK obstetric surveillance study, which looked last year at women who were diagnosed as COVID-19 positive and admitted to hospital. And I think of 427 women in that study, 12 babies tested as positive, and none of them were ill. So the risk seems to be very small. The risk to breastfeeding babies also appears to be quite small. There is some evidence that COVID antibodies go into breast milk, And that presumably would be true both of whether you were vaccinated or whether it was natural antibodies if you got the disease. And so that may be protective. But I think at the current time, the risk to babies seems very small. And certainly we would not discourage our mothers who are COVID-19 positive from holding their babies or breastfeeding them.
Okay. So babies have been doing all right despite being positive?
Yes. From the information, it seems to be the risk to the baby seems to be very tiny. The risk, even if babies are ill, they don't seem to, even if babies are infected, they don't seem to be ill. There's another study I looked up yesterday just to try and find out, which suggested that of the babies that would track, they tracked all the babies in the UK admitted with COVID just at one point last year. There were 66 babies, all of them recovered.
Okay. All right.
Fully. So the risk to the baby seems to be more because if they are delivered prematurely because the mother has COVID. That's where the risk seems to come from prematurity, not from the COVID itself.
Okay. Dr. Siti, did we see many pregnant or breastfeeding mums who are COVID-19 positive? Did we see many of them?
We do not see that many. As many as in the UK or in the US. When we had the first wave and the second wave, in fact, we hardly see. In fact, most of the cases, even, in Klang Valley especially, we could all, send them over to the main COVID hospital, which is the Sungai Buloh. But during the third wave where, it's pandemic, then we tend to see more. That's when we, even in Muslim Medical Center, started seeing these mothers. However, we find that because we see them early and we manage them early, we do not have any problem at all, with these mothers, and they all do well.
Okay.
Even the babies that are born.
So are they given the same medication and all of that as any other patient would if you come in positive?
Most of them are managed conservatively, yeah. We try not to institute as many drugs as possible because those women in pregnancy that we see tend to be very mild disease. We do not see, as what I learned from my key colleagues, the difficult ones that need, the special ventilation that you need. Yeah. So far, we have not really ventilated. Although we do have mothers who came late, one in Sabah and one in Klang Valley, who actually succumb to death. But these women really came very late with severe respiratory depression when they came in.
Okay, that's very interesting that, we didn't really see complications or, mums who had to be, pregnant mums who had to be ventilated. Is that just the number, the sheer difference in numbers that we saw in both the countries? Or is the Malaysian mum a little different?
No, I think it is the difference in the numbers.
Numbers, okay.
Yeah, if you see the big picture, even population-wise, we do not have as big number as in UK or in Europe or in the US.
Okay, that's very, very interesting, actually. And what I want to know more about is, I think a lot of people want to know is if you do, in fact, take the vaccine, then what are the effects on, as you said, the concerns, effects on the fetus, what are some of the side effects, fertility in the longer term, and if you have comorbidities. I think one of the things I wanted to find out from Dr. Siti is that we also have mothers who are getting pregnant older, and mothers who have comorbidities. So that's why I'm quite impressed that they have actually done very well in terms of recovery.
Yeah. We do have these mothers who are elderly and with comorbidities. So we are hoping that, our vaccine program has just rolled out and in infantry stage of COVID. So we have not had the chance to actually see this kind of cases yet in the public. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, as the healthcare workers, they are quite well informed, you know, that maybe Charlotte has got you know, more experience in that. Yeah. And seeing this kind of, you know, elderly mothers can give comorbids.
Older mothers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have lots of older mothers. Cambridge is full of older mothers. I think Cambridge is a slightly unusual place in that we have a very high percentage of quite professional women who get pregnant very late. So we are very used to seeing mothers in their 40s, occasionally in their 50s, although not very often, I'm glad to say. So once in their 60s. So we, I think most of our older mothers probably are very highly educated. Not all of them. The women with comorbidities, not necessarily, they may not be, but I think a lot of the women with a serious underlying disease, so that's one of my interests. I look after women with underlying medical disease. I look after women with, say, like cystic fibrosis and heart disease and diabetes. And a lot of those have had their conditions for quite a long time and understand them very well. And so are very used to being medicalized, I suppose. And so they're used to having to take drugs and they're used to having to do to take advice about medical conditions. And most of them are very easy to talk to about the vaccine. And well, I think all our patients are. They listen, they take advice and they think about it and they make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. But I think we do have quite a lot of women who do fall into that category or those categories who are at higher risk. And if you look at the women who have been ill here and who have died, almost all of them have had some other risk factors other than just being pregnant.
Okay, all right, fantastic. So we'll come back and find out more. If you have a question, call us. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're discussing should pregnant or breastfeeding mothers take the COVID-19 vaccine. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living and I'm Meera Sivisodhi. We're discussing pregnant and breastfeeding mums and whether or not they should get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine. Joining me, Professor Dato Dr. Siti Zawiya, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. She's also president of the College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And from the UK, Dr. Charlotte Patient, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist at the Edinbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge, sharing their thoughts. We're sort of doing a comparison on the UK and Malaysia and how pregnant mums and breastfeeding mums are taking to COVID-19, as well as whether or not they should get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine. So just to make it clear that given the vaccination rollout process, the NHS and in Malaysia, a pregnant and breastfeeding woman is not automatically eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine. Am I correct? However, some women are encouraged, especially if you're a frontliner, and if you are in the high-risk group, perhaps you are advised to actually get vaccinated. So I think the main question here, and Cheryl is also asking, how will we really know that the vaccines won't affect or have an effect on the development of the fetus? And as you said, Dr. Siti, that is one of the main concerns.
Yeah. Actually, these vaccines that you know, that we are giving, they are not from live virus. So that's one of the reassuring things. Yeah. So when it's not a live virus, they are, you know, they do not actually enter the nucleus of the cells, and they also get quickly degraded. And so far, the animal studies they've done before or even during the gestation do not affect any reproduction, any fetal or embryonal development, and also postnatal development of the babies that, you know, that have been observed, you know, in this. So I would say that, you know, although the data is sparse, they're so far very reassuring that vaccines are safe in pregnancy. You know, for this reason, the regulatory bodies in UK, Europe, United States have recommended that pregnant women should be offered the vaccine, where the benefits outweigh the potential risk. You know, so most of the pregnant women on the front line and those with pre-existing conditions are now currently receiving the vaccine. In fact, this is one of the latest figures in the US. By the 10th of February 2021, there are 20,000 pregnant women that had received a COVID-19 vaccine. And, you know, they've been doing some enhanced pharmacovigilance of these vaccine recipients. And it had raised no red flag. So this is quite reassuring, and hopefully soon from this data that they've got on a very large pregnant women in the US, we will get the the publications and more updating results, information that we need. Although I know that Charlotte in the UK, I think less number than that. I'm not too sure how many, but it's reassuring to know that in the US, more than 20,000 pregnant women have been vaccinated. This is what has been
reported.
Reported.
Yeah, but that's almost like a trial already, isn't it?
30,000.
It's almost like a trial. What's it like in the UK, Charlotte?
I don't know the numbers yet, I have to say, to be honest, but I think they're likely to be smaller just because the UK is smaller than the US. But we are currently collecting, there's a thing called the United Kingdom Obstetric Surveillance Survey, which collects data on rare conditions in pregnancy. And they are collecting data on all pregnant women vaccinated in February and March. And then they will look at the outcomes for all those women. So again, we'll be able to get some good data out of that. Although, of course, the problem is some of these women won't deliver for a while. So it's always a bit difficult with pregnancy because you've got a bit longer before you get the outcomes. And I think Pfizer and Moderna are starting trials in pregnant women as well. But I think we have to be honest here. Most drugs are not tested in pregnant women. So, paracetamol is used in pregnant women because women have used it for however many years. But almost all new drugs are not tested in pregnant women. So we are always really doing live trials and giving it to women on the basis, giving drugs to women on the basis of that there's no reason why they should cause harm. And eventually we collect enough data to hopefully show they don't cause harm. And the vaccine is the same as that.
Yeah.
But I agree, there's no reason why this vaccine should cause harm. We've used vaccines for a long time in pregnancy. These are very similar. So I think we have to go on what we understand about how the vaccines work and why there's no reason why they should cause harm.
Yeah. But Dr. City, you also mentioned what you were describing is it doesn't affect the nucleus. Is you referring to the mRNA, Pfizer, Moderna sort of vaccines, am I correct? However, yeah. We also have the viral vector and the inactivated virus vaccines, which Malaysians will be receiving as well. So are you saying then that pregnant and breastfeeding women should actually stay away from the inactivated virus vaccines?
I do not think so, yeah. Although, most of the data that we've got now is on the mRNA type of vaccines. Mm-hmm. So I do not, as long as they are not live virus, kind of thing, it should not be much of a problem. But I don't know, maybe Charlotte has got more experience in that.
I was just trying to look at actually. So viral inactivated viral vaccines have been used for a very long time. And I'm just trying to look at whether the flu vaccine was inactivated virus. I'm not entirely sure. I was just going to try and find out. I know that the viral vector has been used. A similar viral vector was used for an Ebola vaccine, and that's been used in pregnant women for a while. So there's no reason. These are inactivated vaccines and viruses and viral vectors which can't replicate. So there's no reason why they should be any less safe. There's no reason why you shouldn't use them. They can't infect you, if that makes sense. And the same is true of the mRNA. That it doesn't go into your cells and combine with the cell. It just sits in and gets the the vaccine in there.
So there's no
reason why any of them shouldn't be safe.
None of the vaccines are actually from that virus. So that is the reassuring thing.
Okay. So based on what you've said, the vaccine is not going to affect the fetus. So far, data is not showing any of that. But what about if you are breastfeeding? Should you stop breastfeeding after getting the vaccine, Dr. Charlotte?
No, I don't think you should. And again, we give vaccines in pregnancy. There's some evidence that antibodies go into the breast milk and might protect the baby. I don't think there's any good reason to stop breastfeeding at all.
Okay, so can I just go back?
In the UK now, the breastfeeding mothers are specifically included. So breastfeeding is just said you can have it. There's not even you need to have a discussion with your physician. It just says it's fine.
Okay. So let's look at the different concerns. We spoke a lot about comorbidities being a huge concern. We spoke about age. Are there any other conditions that make a woman a higher priority when it comes to be when it comes for the woman to be vaccinated? Is there anything else we should be thinking about?
So in the US, they actually say pregnancy itself is listed as a high risk factor. We haven't got that in the UK at the moment. And we do know that you're at higher risk in the latter stages of pregnancy or you're at higher risk of becoming ill. So pregnancy itself is listed in some places. I think obviously healthcare workers, if you're going to be in contact with people with COVID, that's obviously a higher risk. And in the UK, unfortunately, sadly, we're not entirely sure why, but there's a higher risk in some communities. So Asian communities, Black communities seem to have a higher risk. So there's a number of demographics and weight is obviously the biggest comorbidity. So it's not just medical diseases. So the UK now, what they're doing is they're looking at a combination of factors. So if you are a little bit older or more overweight, or you're perhaps a little bit overweight and have gestational diabetes, so that they add things together and an algorithm then tells you whether you're the higher risk group or not. Also, some of it depends on where you live in the UK, again, because there are pockets where the risk seems to be higher, particularly where I think probably again where there's a higher density of population rather than perhaps in rural areas where there are fewer people around.
Is that why they're talking about ethnicity as one of the risk factors in the UK?
I think no one really quite knows, but it certainly may be. So certainly there's a higher instance of multi-generational families living together, which may mean that the risks are higher. In some of the communities, there is a higher, they're just living in more dense areas. But it doesn't seem to, so I think the answer is we don't know. And there's a lot of concern being raised about exactly why the risks are higher.
Because when you say Asian community, I mean, we are Asian community here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We do not put ethnicity as one of our risk factors. But in the UK, you know, if you read, They will put that as one. Yep. That I would like to know.
What are our risk factors, Dr. Siti?
Our risk factors are mainly, as we said, you know, those who are, you know, frontliners. And frontliners are not just now, they're talking about doctors and nurses. But, you know, when you talk about like any other, those who work in customer service and all that, they are also very high risk of contracting it from the, you know, population, you know, the cashiers and, you know, all those. So I personally would add these people are also at high risk of getting this. Of course, the other risk factors are, you know, the age, as we say, those who have got high BMI, those with comorbids, you know, especially if you've got medical diseases in pregnancy, you know, even before pregnancy or even during pregnancy problems. To me, these are the main thing. I would like to just emphasize that, you know, previously, people are afraid because we do not have big data on teratogenicity, although what we have seen so far, there's no teratogenic effect. But if women, if they are not so keen in the first trimester, we can delay it, you know, up to the second trimester. That means after 13 weeks onwards, which is the safest period for most of any viral diseases or most diseases. So we actually, if they are between 14 to 33 weeks, we really do not find any problem in advising them to have vaccine. And as we know, towards the end of pregnancy, these are, you know, if they contracted COVID-19, they are at high risk of getting admitted to the intensive care, where, you know, their admission is higher. But of course, their absolute risk is much, much less than the pandemic, you know, when we had that H1N1 flu before, where, you know, the death rate was much, much higher.
Charlotte, is there a window in the UK? Because it's interesting that you say pregnancy itself in the UK is a risk. Is this considered
no, a risk? No, they're pregnant in the US. In the US.
In the US, okay.
Not in the UK.
Yeah.
So, no, we don't have a window. I mean, I would agree with Dr. City that it is, if women are worried, avoiding the first trimester can allay some of those fears, because it does mean that they are not having a time when most of the organ development is occurring. In the UK at the moment, if you're beyond 28 weeks, you're advised to socially isolate and stay at home and work from home. So in the healthcare workers, actually, if you're beyond 28 weeks, you won't necessarily be offered it, because you'll no longer be at work in theory. But other than that, really, you are able to have it at any gestation that you are offered it. And the rollout program here is working down through a number of different groups. So that we're now mainly looking at, we're mainly looking at people now over the age of 50, but also people with higher risks who are younger.
Okay. So MOH guidelines, Dr. City, is first dose should be between 14 to 33 weeks of gestation. Am I correct?
This is not an absolute guideline. If the women is well informed and they are, they are okay with having it in earlier gestation, it should be okay to receive the vaccine. But if they're going to have many questions at the back of their mind, to have a psychologically safe in their mind, then it is better for them to just defer towards in second trimester, where they will not like any other conditions or disease. It is safer period.
Okay, so we'll come back and find out what happens if you get pregnant after the first dose but before the second dose. And then, of course, we'll find out what the vaccine, whether or not it will impact fertility in the long run. That's coming up next. If you have a question, once again, give us a call. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at PFM Radio. Good afternoon, and if you have just joined us, welcome. It's our Health and Living segment, and I'm Mira Sivasodhi. Joining me on Zoom is Professor Dr. Dr. Siti Zawiya, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. She's also the president of the College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And also joining us from the UK, Dr. Charlotte Patient. She's a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist at the Addenbrookes Hospital in Cambridge. We're discussing pregnant and breastfeeding mums, and should they take the COVID-19 vaccine? So we've had a lengthy discussion about a lot of the concerns that most pregnant mums actually have. So I think it's made it very clear, and it's great to actually have a comparison between what's actually going on in the UK and in the US, as well as, we're just starting to roll out ours. And so at least it gives some comfort level to a lot of women who are pregnant or breastfeeding and who are thinking about getting vaccinated. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you before I move on to fertility is, what if a woman becomes pregnant after the first dose but before the second dose? Dr. Charlotte?
So the UK advice currently is that if you get pregnant after the first dose, before the second dose, is that if you want to have your second dose, you can do so. But if you want to delay it till after the first trimester, that would be another option. Although that would then obviously be slightly longer than the 12 weeks that we are currently advocating. So they really say, what they're saying here is that one dose gives good protection, but the question is that lasting protection? That's what the second dose, I think, is supposed to be about. So the advice here is that you can continue to have it, but if you are concerned, then the other option is just to delay it slightly. Although, obviously, then we don't quite know what the risk of going beyond that 12-week period is, although I suspect it's likely to be small.
Okay. And what about the effects on fertility, Dr. City? Is there much literature? It's such a new vaccine. I feel so bad asking you all these questions when, we're so, it's so much data is not there. You're learning, I know, as we go along, right?
Yeah.
And just piggybacking on the US and the UK and what they're doing and what's the data saying, really.
That's right. This is kind of fluid. Kind of a topic, yeah, that you go wrong, as we see the effect of the vaccine. Currently, there's no evidence to suggest that COVID-19 vaccines will affect fertility. There's no biologically possible mechanism by which this current vaccine will cause any impact on women's fertility. And evidence has not been presented that women who have been vaccinated have gone to have any fertility problems at all, currently. So I suppose we shall update
as we go along. Okay. You know, Dr. Charlotte, you know, earlier on you spoke about how the women in Cambridge tend to have, tend to get pregnant much later on in their 40s and their 50s and even at the age of 60, you know, and I always thought I was completely out of that. Forget about pregnancy, Mira. I mean, that's never going to happen because of my age. But say I am trying to get pregnant now, and is it safe for me to actually conceive? And also, should I be taking the vaccine?
So again, I would agree that there is no evidence that COVID has any effect on fertility. Then there's no evidence that getting pregnant shortly after you have the vaccine is dangerous. So if you are trying to conceive and you are offered the vaccine because you have risk factors, then I would see no reason not to take it.
Okay, so risk factors, very important then.
If you were 40, you would probably, well, you wouldn't be offered. If you were 40 and otherwise healthy, you currently would not be offered in this country yet, although you will be shortly. So there would be no reason from my perspective, not to have it. And if you happen to get pregnant the following week, well, so be it.
Okay.
If a woman comes to me and said they want to get pregnant, I would say that can you go and get your vaccine completed? Because as in Malaysia, you know that the first dose and the second dose is just 3 weeks apart.
Yeah.
So that's what I have, told one of the doctors who came to me and said, you know, how can I get pregnant? And I said, no, go and get your vaccine, sort it out first, yeah. And then you come to me. That would be easier for me to manage you. Yeah. So that is what my advice had been to those who come and wanting to get pregnant.
And once vaccinated, could the antibodies created be passed on through the placenta or even through breast milk? Because there was a recent study, that suggests that COVID-19 antibodies induced by mRNA vaccines were found in breast milk. Do we know much about that, Charlotte?
So I've had a look, and I agree, there are some small studies that have suggested that there is evidence of antibodies both in breast milk and crossing the placenta to babies who mothers who've either been vaccinated or had COVID. That's not unreasonable. We do find that. We give vaccines to pregnant mothers to protect the baby. So, for example, we give whooping cough vaccine to mothers in the UK in order to pass the antibodies across the placenta to protect the baby. That's the whole reason for giving it. It's nothing to do with the mother at all. So there's no reason why it shouldn't happen with these antibodies, and there's no reason why that shouldn't be protective. Although, as I said, there seems to be no great evidence that COVID is very dangerous in neonates.
Dr. Siti?
I agree. In fact, it is, these antibodies that's passed, in fact, is a lot of advantage to the babies, you know, when they're born. So if they are at any time at risk of getting disease, then they would, you know, already have an antibody, just like any other antibodies that mothers pass on, especially those who fully breastfeed their infants.
Okay. So when you talk about the whole idea of safety, here you are told to declare if you have severe allergies, right? So would that make a difference if a pregnant mum actually has severe allergies, or is it pretty much the same when you make a decision, even if you're not pregnant? Charlotte?
So you are here as well. And there was a concern early on about the Pfizer vaccine and allergies, although I think they've now said there's no longer a concern about that. And I think the WHO and the UK authorities have said there's no concerns. And I suppose that the only issue is if you do have an anaphylactic reaction to a vaccine and you are pregnant. I mean, it would be a risk if you weren't pregnant. I guess the really important thing is to make sure that if you have severe allergies, that you have it, you have the vaccine in a place in a healthcare facility where they have the everything to deal with it. But I'm not sure it would necessarily stop you having the vaccine or make a choice about which type of vaccine to have because of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when do you think it'll be safe to actually recommend the routine use of COVID-19 vaccines during pregnancies? Because right now it's based on consultation with your doctor, you know, and then you make a decision then. When do you think the data will be robust enough? At what stage do you think we'll be able to then say, you know, hey, all pregnant women need to get the vaccine? When do you think when will we reach that stage?
I hope quite soon, because it'll be quicker for all of us. But I think the difficulty, of course, is that pregnancy is 9 months, and that one of the problems is we have to wait for the outcomes for the babies to be absolutely certain. And then you have to start saying, and what are they like at 6 years old or when they go to university? So it's always really difficult. The real problem with pregnancy and all these is that when we're looking at outcomes for babies or children, you in theory have to wait a very long time. But I am hoping that fairly shortly, once some of this US data gets published, and there appears to be no obvious problems, then it'll be maybe, you know, giving more of an information sheet rather than necessarily having to have a long discussion with your doctor.
Okay. Dr. City?
Yeah. I agree with Charlotte. We do have to wait for the long-term data, on the effects of vaccine. We also, and not just the pregnancy data, we also need to know about the long-term effect of these antibodies. How long does it last for all general population, for us to be comfortable? And of course, the data on the outcome in pregnancy, we have to wait until most of these women have delivered. And in years to come, for the baby, the effect for them. But I think I am very positive that because we've had enough experience with Tdap, whooping cough in pregnancy, where the same type of non-life vaccine had been used for many years. So I think this would follow almost the same kind of vaccine.
Okay. We're very sure you're at work now, one of you at least, with that ambulance siren going. Charlotte, how would you reassure women who are pregnant or breastfeeding about the COVID-19 vaccines?
I would think I would reassure them that there is no theoretical reasons why these vaccines should not be safe. There is no part of the vaccine that can replicate, and that it has now been given to a large number of women, and we're not getting lots of reported problems. And I think you also have to think, as with all these things, you have to think about the risk of doing something against the risk of not doing something. And certainly in the UK, we have seen some very sick women with COVID and women who've died and babies who've been born prematurely because of that. So I think it's always balancing up the known risk of COVID against the theoretical unknown risk of the vaccine. So I think, as Dr. Sisson said earlier, the patient choice is in the end, is always patient choice. And some women will be very keen to have it and some women will just not. But I think I would try my best to reassure them that there is no reason why it shouldn't be safe. And COVID is certainly, COVID can make you very, very sick.
And I suppose, Dr. City, to add on to what you mentioned earlier, in consultation with your partner, of course. Always. Ladies, thank you both very much for joining me today. That was Dr. Charlotte, patient, consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist from the Addenbrookes Hospital in Cambridge. Thank you for waking up so early, Dr. Charlotte. And Professor Dr. Siti Zawiya, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist and president of the College of Obstetrician and Gynecologists, speaking to us about pregnancy and breastfeeding and the COVID-19 vaccination on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.